Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. How are you, man?
I am doing great. Excited about today's show.
Are you going to be able to hold out? I don't know if you're going to have the stamina because we came right off of another show not too long ago. You didn't get any lunch.
I know. This is back-to-back. What does your buddy say? Let's play two.
That's right. Well, it's going to be a fantastic show. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Jeff and Dana Miller. They're with Sir Grout. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this afternoon, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the co-founder with Famtech, Mr. Conrad Mertens. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful today. Thanks very much.
Famtech, can you share a little bit about what you guys are doing for folks?
Well, what we have done, we're doing a lot of great things in Famtech. Let me tell you one of the most exciting stuff about, if you look at today's technology, we focus more on the IT, the database phase of things. Traditionally, IT people have to walk with a computer everywhere they go. Every time there's a problem, you have to pull your computer out and log onto your system and get to work. We have changed that. Everything now is mobile. And the key, what we have done now, we have changed the traditional way of going with your computer. No, everything can be done via your iPhone or your smartphone. All you got to do now is pull out your tablet. You can be fishing. You can be out on a golf course. Even spending some time with your family or reading a good book. Everything you can see right now from your iPhone, from your smartphone. This is the way a CEO needs to go. This is the direction we want to go with technology. We're the only company right now that have this technology out there.
So you create kind of a dashboard for your clients so they can see the important stuff?
Yes. They see the entire infrastructure, not just their database. Let me think about it for a minute. Every time a system goes down, the average cost is $4,000 to $5,000. It costs a company when a system goes down.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Like large companies, like, I won't give company name, but think about a reservations company. Like for hotels, they cost them, I work in an environment, it costs them $6 million for every system outage, an hour.
Wow.
So what we have done as well, said, look, you know, let's litigate that risk. Let's minimize that risk. And that's what we have done with having the ability by showing predictive analytics as well. So we show you problems before the system goes down, way in advance, days and weeks in advance. So your IT folks can work on it.
Conrad, I can't quite nail it. What part of Georgia are you from?
Well, I was born in, as you can tell, my last name is Mertens. So my parents are Dutch. Mm-hmm. I was born in South America, or at least it's called Dutch Guyana at that time.
So
I was raised in New York City. So sorry.
Well, I do want to get a little into your backstory. Have you been in this kind of the tech arena for your whole career? How did you get here?
Well, that's a good question. Well, as I said, I was raised in New York City. Let me tell you, back then, I have an accent, as you can tell. Back then in New York City, back in the early 70s, during the Jimmy Carter era, if you're a foreigner, oh my gosh, they used to tell you, foreigner, go home. Think about it for a minute. As a little school. Yes, as a little school, in middle school.
In New York City,
I had to run in the liquor store.
That's where the Statue of Liberty is.
That's where it is, you would think, right? So I had to run in the liquor store, say, help, help, they're trying to take my bus pass. I can't go home. So in middle school, because we didn't have school bus.
Wow.
So what we have done, we gravitate to people with different accents and to a certain culture. That's why New York have so many different cultures in different parts. So what I did, so I gravitate to some areas. My younger brothers and sister, they changed their accents right away.
They
got rid of the accent.
Wow. Really?
They got rid of the accent.
So what do they sound like?
This
like
sound
Stone?
Like sound like New Yorkers. So that was amazing, though. That's why I have my accent still.
So you hung out with all the nerds? Is that what?
I hang out with all the smart people, because you think about it too as well. I went to St. John's University for my bachelor's degree, and then I got a scholarship to my master's degree as well. In mathematics. So from there, I was working at Citibank, Citicorp. And that's where I start. I remember back at 23 years old, having a master's in mathematics as well. I was at Citibank, Citicorp on Wall Street, 100 Wall Street I was working at. Our program, the programs that I wrote, was trading $8 billion a day for Citibank, Citicorp. I was assistant vice president at 23. So I was very fortunate at that time. Because I hated mathematics and I really didn't want to do math for a living. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to go programming. And that's the route I took. So I used my math skills to help Citibank, Citicorp. But you know, you got to grow up one day, right?
Right.
So at 23 years old, reaching 30 years old, I'm like, man, I want a family. I got to have a wife and kids. And you can't raise a wife and kids in New York City. It's not possible.
It's hard.
It's right? hard. It's very difficult. You know, so like, you know.
They only have like one park.
That's it, one park. You stay in the house all day long in an apartment, you know, small apartment. So I said, I'm going to go. I'm going to get out of here. I want a family. So I had a sister here. I said, I'm going to move to Georgia. Never been to Georgia yet in my life. But I'm like, you know, I'm going to Georgia. And that's what I did. I packed up my stuff and moved to Georgia. And, you know, I found my wife in Publix grocery store. Could you believe that?
There's a tip really? Out there yeah. for all
there's
you
There's a tip, guys. Yeah. Yes. Right. And by the way, there's certain quality of women you meet in Publix. So,
well, you know important. They have some money, right?
Right? Yes, you're right.
And they could probably cook, right? They're there buying groceries. So you're checking off two right off the list.
And that's exactly. I found her in the frozen section. So it was just perfect.
How'd you start your own business, though? I mean, you were working for a big corporation. And now working for yourself is a different kind of animal there.
Yeah, so I continued my education. I got my MBA from Georgia Tech as well. So I went from my hard skill to my soft skill, my MBA from Georgia Tech. So one day I was at a manufacturing company as executive, as a management team, and the system crashed just before we supposed to report the numbers to Wall Street. So so I got called in the CEO office and the general counsel, and they asked me, like, what happened? Why did the system crash? I looked around, my IT guys were not with me. I was by myself. I was like, oh my crap. I don't have the information that they asked me for. So imagine, you know the general counsel are. They ask you tons of questions. I can't answer them. I'm still waiting for my IT folks to give me that information. So I said there's a void there. As executive, as leaders, you have to have information right away in front of you to make decisions.
In real time.
In real time. So that's what we decided to, and because of executive, you're not always at your desk as well. So in this way, that's what we decided to come to this idea, this missing void in the market that catered strictly towards executives, the leadership team, as well as providing technical team information.
All right. So how does the whole sales and marketing thing work? How do you get to start to have this conversation with the people who should be investing in your services, but need to know about it, need to get educated about it?
Well, the thing, we look at this, as I said, we tell IT executive leaders, look, we are here to save your jobs. And that's a reality.
How's that because, for a value proposition? Sir Grout likes it. Yeah.
You know, we help you increase your revenue while reducing your operation costs. You know, look in the IT space as well. People look at IT as an expense. That's what you look. It's not a revenue generating money. You don't want to spend much as well. Everyone is going out to cloud-based solutions. Not everyone. Some are going to cloud-based solutions a lot.
Right.
It may be a good approach or not. You know, if a cloud versus on-premise approach. So regardless what space, if you go cloud or not, we're going to show you how to basically save money in terms of increasing revenue, reduce your financial risk in terms of minimizing downtime. So our system, we said, okay, your system, by using our system, you as an executive, as a leader, you get to see information readily, as well as your technical team can see the same information as well. So that allows you then to fix issues so you won't have the downtimes, the system outages. You know, and that's a key part of it too as well. You know, a lot of times, what you find too sometimes you have in the IT space, you know, the teams tend not to collaborate as much.
Right, they're in silos.
They're in silos, exactly. And everybody want power over their own department. Right. And what we do, we provide transparency. And what we do, we allow more collaboration between your more hard IT technical folks and your database and application folks.
So are you kind of watching my back as the CEO? Because I don't understand all the technical stuff. So you're my translator. So you're kind of creating a system that I can understand what's going on.
Yes. So think about it. You get up in the morning. You pull out your cell phone. All you're going to see, you log on very quickly. It's very simple to log on. Just look at your apps. All you see is red, yellow, and green lights. That's what we see.
I just want to see green. All green.
That's exactly. You all want to see green.
Right.
So all we show you is green light. Green light.
There you go.
Good. I'm good to go.
I can start my day.
You're not waiting for a phone call or email at all. Who you got no time for that crap.
Right.
So, or every time you got to wait, is it up yet? Is it up yet?
Right.
You can see.
And then I can tell if there was a problem. I go, why is it still yellow? It was supposed to be fixed yesterday.
Smart man. Exact same thing. Or you go on vacation. You go on vacation, you come back, and you get blindsided. Oh, your system was done last week. No one told you that. Tell you that. The dashboard shows you that. It tells you the yellow light.
It tells me last week?
It tells you the system went down.
Wow.
The light tells you because the month category is yellow. That tells you why you're out on vacation. The system went down.
There was a problem. Now, what's the sweet spot for a client? Like, what size clients are good for you?
Well, you talk about sweet spot. We look at, from EBITDA perspective, we're talking about $150 million, or from a revenue perspective, overall revenue is $250 million above for both Oracle and SQL Server we support. So we're able to accommodate the customer needs as well.
Because, you know, Oracle, that usually goes really smoothly when people work with Oracle.
So we've got the dashboard database. We show you, we accommodate a customer. So we cover all industries as well. Mm-hmm. But we definitely work with a customer to provide the best solution for their business.
Now, what if they are in between companies so that they need, they don't know, or they're, maybe they just merged and one person's using Oracle, one person's not. Do you help them manage that to kind of get them all to talk to each other?
Yes. And that's what we do as well. We get them to talk to each other because over the dashboard, I have both Oracle and SQL Server, which is the primary, two primary guys. So going forward, we're going to be doing the other two is big data and MySQL. But also, not just from a database perspective, think about it from your storage. Everybody always wants more space. You know, they always want more. And that's a cost. That's a big cost for a company. That's growing tremendously now.
Right.
We show you, said, yeah, you don't need space. We can show you strategies how to reduce your space. Mm-hmm. Because think about it, the smaller volume you have, it faster results. Persistent perform faster. So we show you how to reduce that storage cost, that IT footprint as well.
Now, what about kind of cybersecurity and hacking and things like that?
Well, the nice part about it, the software, we understand, and that's very critical. We make sure the security in terms of we use your existing company security protocol. So we're not creating our own protocol at all. What you talk about at our next phase, even though we use your security protocol, we're going to introduce a new product that can help combat cybersecurity and so forth. That's the next phase coming out and part of our roadmap in the next couple of months.
All right. I got to tell you, I'm a little bit surprised. And we are definitely, this is coming from a completely uneducated, uninformed lay person, but in my mind, I would have thought that a company the size and complexity that you're describing as your client would have someone or some team on board that would be quite capable of creating this dashboard or creating these things on their own. But there must be some secret sauce or some unique technology or service or something that you're bringing to the table that they can't bake internally. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, you know why? Because everyone is busy fighting fires. You hire smart people to do a job, to do strategic job. But when they get there, all they do is busy fighting fires. You're asking them to do more with less. So you're giving them more stuff, more work, but you're not giving them not all the tools. They have no time. They have no time to do a proper triage and to prevent system issues. Or they have to use multiple different tools. What we have done, we consolidate all those tools into one. It's like a one-stop shopping. So that's the key. So what we allow you to do now, we said, okay, you know, you don't have to then use all these tools and spend so much time. We're going to show you all your challenges up front so you can plan a strategy to go ahead and fix it. That's free up your time to do more project management, more strategic work. So that's the thing. We allow by company use our tool, it will definitely allow them now to do exactly what you're saying.
All right. So are you out there having this conversation with CIOs and companies this size? And can you just walk us through that process? There's this initial conversation, I don't know, with the CIO of Earthlink, Jay Farrow. You might have that initial conversation with him. But then what does the early stages of an engagement or working with a company look like?
Well, that's a good question. Some companies, depending on the size of the company, you may have to go down to the director or VP level. Or something to manage. It all depends on the decision maker and how much they can their responsibilities. But the key that we showed them the added value as well in terms of how much they can save. This is the feedback we got from our customers. We've seen they reduced their consultants, the offshore team by 25%, less resources. They've also seen that it also reduced their storage space tremendously as well. They don't need to go to buy additional hardware. As well, because we show you that you may not need to buy new hardware and what you can do as well. So that conversation as well is showing them how much they can save in a very immediate and short term.
So I know you got away from math, but not really. The math is a big part of this, right?
It is. Math is a big part of it because
the ROI is there.
We analyze data, we pull the data in and we analyze and we keep look and then we keep filtering the data and hold them and keep doing that. So we use these algorithms to then determine what data we want to hold and what data we want to show. So then we show it in a technical perspective as well as from a leadership perspective.
Now, is there an initial pain point that your customers have where they're like, we got to call the FAMTech folks? Like, how, you know, what are they going through where they call you?
Downtime. And it's, if you're not getting 99.99% uptime, you need to call us. You should get 100% uptime.
I know, but these people don't have dashboards. They don't have
they don't know. Last month, yeah, we had that.
If you hear your system keep going down, so always have slow performance on your systems, you need to call us as well. Because that tells us you're losing money as well. I can guarantee you, you'll find the savings. By us saving you two or three outages right away, that already covered the cost.
All right, so why'd you call it FamTech?
It's a family. Let me tell you why.
I thought maybe from your very early conversation. Yeah.
But we treat all employees like family in terms of, you know, what's important to us from a family perspective is that we want to make sure when you join the team, we allow you to choose your work time. So if you want to work, your work schedule, we allow you to choose your work schedule. You can work from home as well. So we allow to, so everyone is, we empowered employees to do as part of the company. So we have like a flat line, so we empower the employees as well as we then will have a voice. We want to treat each other as family. So that's why I call it FamTech. You're not an employee, we're all family.
So you guys have meetings like at Publix? Is that where?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Not as yet. I would love to have one at Publix. Maybe on my 21st anniversary, have one.
All right, so how long you guys been at this?
Well, so we officially start open doors in last year. So okay. 1 year now we've opened us officially opened the doors as well. And now we're looking to get the word out as well. But because we've seen the value added and the way we position ourselves, we want to make it affordable for every company. The key in Georgia here, we're looking at that we want to keep unemployment low. Georgia have a lot of smart people. I'm a graduate from Georgia Tech, so I'm always a Georgia Tech and other
places.
You're
graduated from a bunch of places.
Yeah, that's true too. But the idea, what we look to do as well, is to increase company growth in Georgia. And that's our strategy.
So you're
as well.
Focusing on Georgia employees and Georgia companies to serve?
As well, we'll be all national as well. But since here's our easiest for us to reach, we would love to see the companies in Georgia flourish as well. So we're looking at ways to help these companies within Georgia as well. Not only that, too, as well, we have a lot of smart. We want Georgia to be the next technology place as well. You don't have to go to Silicon Valley. It's right here in Georgia.
All right. So what's your biggest challenge? What do you need? How can we help?
Well, we need to get help in getting the word out as well. We want people to see our demos as well. Because I guarantee if you see the demo, you will see the value added as well. All our demos are interactive. So you're not just watching a demo. We're going to tell you to take out your cell phone or your tablet and go to work. So you're using live data. You can see real-time stuff going on right there as well. So what you see on the WebEx screen is also what you're going to be seeing on your phone. Identical, nothing different.
All right, you touched on it a minute ago, but before we wrap, what's next? Where are you going to be putting a lot of your time and energy in the coming months, you think?
I think the next coming, we want to improve our marketing strategy. I think that's what we biggest need, marketing and sales. So that's what we're looking to do. We want to get the word as much as possible.
And I think maybe you should consider going to a course where you could work on amping up your enthusiasm a little bit. You think that would be helpful?
You know, I think that would be helpful. That. I don't sleep at night. You know, I'm a big runner. I'm a marathon runner. I'm always running marathons. So that's my job. That's what I get to relax. And that's what will give me a lot of chance to think. To run 26.2 miles gives you a lot of chance to think.
And training for that too.
That's training. You get to cry. You get to pray. You get to do everything.
All right. Let's make sure our listeners know how to get in touch with you. If they'd like to have a conversation with you or someone on your team or maybe access one of these demos, what's the best way for them to
the
reach out?
The website is www.famtech. That's FAMTECK.com. FAMTECK.com. That's FAMTECK.com.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure having you in this afternoon. I know you woke Lee up because he was in like a no lunch nap.
Right, but now going into fired up. Ready to run a marathon.
Well, you got me inspired. I mean, I want to go like throw all this enthusiasm behind the Business Radio Edge Network. This has been fantastic. I hope you'll keep us posted.
Yes.
And I think it might be fun sometime. It might make for a good segment if you have any local clients to maybe have you and a client come in and talk about that experience. You might be up for that sometime?
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be awesome.
All right. Hey, listen, can you hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Yes, I would love to. Thank you.
All right, Lee, it's time for the headliner. You ready?
I'm excited.
They've been very patient. They've been taking notes. They've been nodding. Very polite. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast from Sir Grout, Atlanta, Jeff and Dana Miller. Hello there.
Hello, Stone. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah. What'd you learn in that last segment, man?
Well, that there's definitely some good solutions for making sure that your systems stay up and running. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that everybody will probably take away is that, boy, is it expensive if those systems go down. Oh, that's it. Those are big numbers when your system goes down.
And that's exactly the same with grout. Isn't that true?
it really is. Yes.
For the benefit of our listeners, that is Jeff talking, not Dana.
Right. This is Dana. Hello.
Go ahead, man.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. No. I guess the numbers are a little bit lower when your grout fails, but certainly, there's a lot of educating to share with people on how they can keep their homes looking fantastic.
But is grout only a looking issue, or is it also a bigger issue in terms of, you know, mold and other things?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The biggest thing that people don't understand about grout and what we do in maintaining grout is that grout is porous and it absorbs water. So water is really the root of all evil here. As it gets in there, little things grow. The grout turns colors, it stains.
So colors are bad in your grout, typically.
That's right. Unless it's the natural color of the grout, yeah, you can have some pretty raunchy stuff.
Okay, Dana, I got to ask, the best way to ask this question is, what in the heck were you thinking? But what I want to know is, presumably you guys probably had some life before this, or maybe even real jobs. What were you thinking, or what did you think he was thinking when the idea surfaced to go get a Sir Grout franchise?
Well, it's a funny story. And yes, we definitely both have a corporate backgrounds. I was with DirecTV and then we moved abroad and lived abroad for 8 years. And so, yes, we have a history before the grout business. But
so you didn't meet in like a Home Depot?
Or a Publix?
No. We actually were both, we met in Arizona. We were both working for a company there. So that's how we met. And in terms of the Sir Grout, Jeff had a job transition, and it was a good opportunity to take some time and really decide what we wanted and what we wanted for ourselves, what we wanted for our family. We have two daughters, age 12 and 14. And so just in evaluating that, we decided, Jeff came home one day and said, "Honey, I think that we're going to buy a franchise." And I thought he was crazy and said, "Yeah, we're not."
You said, "Pour me a glass of wine and we'll talk about
exactly.
it."
Exactly. And then funny enough, after the corporate background, when we were living in Hong Kong, I had decided to get certified in yoga and establish a yoga business there. And when we moved here, I was teaching. And one of my students that I had for 2 years knew that Jeff was in a transition. And one day he said, "How's the job search going?" And I said, "Oh," I said, "he has this crazy idea that we're going to buy a franchise." And he said, "Oh, well, did you know the company I own that we franchise?" And Jeff is the franchisor of Sir Grout, Jeff Gill. And that's how we introduced Jeff, and Jeff had lunch. And that was how we got into the grout business.
But why was the thought process when you're in this kind of a, tricky stage, where you could pick anything? It was really a blank sheet of paper, right? Like, it didn't have to be franchise. You could have went out on your own. You could have been certified in yoga. And you could have a husband and wife yoga. You could have done lots of things.
Could have had a business Radio X studio.
Right.
That's right.
It's infinite choices, really.
Yeah, there is.
And I'm assuming your background wasn't in grout prior in the corporate setting, right? You weren't the grout guy?
I was not. I actually sold toys.
Okay.
So it was quite different than the grout business and restoration.
Right. So how did that make sense in your head? Like, well, this is the logical next move for me.
What you start doing is you cast a broad net when you go through a transition. And we looked at probably 100 different businesses.
But when you're narrowing down the businesses, did you at least like chunk them into industries or B2C, B2B? Like, what were the kind of buckets that you, I want to get it from the beginning stages all the way down to Sir Grout. So what were the first kind of ways you narrowed down your selection?
Kind of exactly as you're going down the path, there's, you start to look at areas of interest and categories, different industries in that.
So you weren't like, "I like yoga. How come yoga wasn't the..."
Oh, it was. I think at one point in time, Dana had talked about a studio in Bali or something of that
so
nature.
Yoga, you, so you went down a yoga path.
It was on
path,
the list.
Right? Because you like yoga, Dana.
Not really.
You don't like it?
I love yoga. However, we did
you
not
don't
really
be immersed
into,
in it as a job.
No, didn't really want to own a yoga studio.
Even though
no.
You liked it as a participant and a teacher.
Yes, love it.
But
love
the business model you don't like.
Right. No, I like the business model, but we looked at a couple of different options. We were looking at industries that were really growing, really booming. We looked at
but yoga's everywhere. There's yoga studios opening up on every corner.
There are, yes. We're
That's
looking
bad.
A little more broad.
A little problem.
We're looking
yeah.
a little more broad. So yeah. We were looking at we looked at home healthcare. We did some serious evaluation of that as well.
So now what about in terms of, is this going to be something that I am going to do the work, or is someone else going to actually do the work with the customer? Was that part of the equation of choosing?
Yes, it was. And that was actually kind of how we ruled out sort of one category, at least from our interests. One of the big categories that you have would be either some kind of a business with a retail location, somewhere where
so
you have to
go. A storefront.
A storefront or right. office front, a place where you have customers come to you. And we realized that was something that we weren't going to be interested in.
Because you don't want the overhead of the rent and all that stuff?
And the place to have to go every day. We wanted a little bit more independence, a little bit more control of our own destiny. And so we said, let's do something where we can operate this from our home, at least initially, and see how big it grows. And then if we need an office, we get an office. But we didn't want something where customers would be coming to us. So when you talk about B2B or B2C, you know, an office would be generally, we looked at more of like a B2B type format, but this one is a B2C and worked out fantastic that we could run it from our home.
Now, how do you run the operation from your home?
Well, basically, the operation, what Surgrout is Surgrout is a home restoration company, or hard surfaces restoration company. So we're going into homes and businesses, and we're primarily geared for residential. We're going into homes and businesses on a daily basis. So we have vehicles that have all the supplies, machinery, and equipment. So those basically are running around all over town, jobs and taking care of things, so that we gives us the opportunity to just run the back office from our home.
All right. So how does the sales thing work? Are these folks in the vehicles out selling as well, or is that a whole nother piece of the operation?
It's really two separate groups. And again, we'll give credit to the guys, and one of the decision factors was how they organized the business. We have two amazing principals who founded and then perfected a business model. But basically what we do is we advertise direct to customers. We do it through direct mail pieces. We do it through digital means as well, all sorts of digital means out there. And all of our leads are warm. We've been able to communicate the benefits of the business well enough through our marketing to generate all warm leads. There's very little cold calling, because when, you know, there's a lot of dirty grout out there and a lot of homes that need their surfaces looking like new again. And that's what we do, basically.
So there's a lot of content out there. There's a lot of messaging out there. And then is that your responsibility, or is that the franchisor's responsibility?
It's the local owners. So we've probably got somewhere around 28 different owners covering about 40 different territories and cities. And each individual owner operator is responsible for their own advertising. But we're a very close network. So kind of one of the mottos of the franchise world is, you're in business for yourself, but you're not alone. You've got good help. So we've got great guidance in terms of the marketing. We know what works and what reaches the customers from about 12 years of experience out there. And you really come in not on step one or not starting from zero. You're really kind of, you're well into the process, because there's so much knowledge from the principals.
So like you can get, if somebody in Arizona goes, hey, I've been running this thing, you should try this here in Atlanta.
100%, absolutely. Part of what we do, almost daily, is we share information and share best practices. So you kind of take that from a corporate world, but it works in small business too. You share your best practices. These ads work. This type of process works. This machine works, and you move forward.
All right, but I get the sense that you genuinely feel like you are better served if someone opens up a Surgrout in Pensacola or Mobile, and there's probably economies of scale from buying materials and all that, but perhaps more importantly, the brand equity and all of that, the pie gets bigger if you have this sort of abundance mentality. Am I reading that right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the more that brand recognition grows, the bigger will become, and the more of daily life will become. So I actually had a conversation with a customer yesterday just about, she was talking about getting carpets cleaned, and people do that on a regular basis, and people know that they need to do that. And that's what we want to become, the thing, the business and the industry where people go, you know what, we've got to seal the grout. We've got to make sure that we want our grout to last 20 years, not 2 years. So let's get it cleaned and let's get it sealed. Who do you call? Well, of course you call Sir Grout.
Okay. I'm going to take this opportunity to say on the air, I adore my wife. She is just a marvelous person. I can't wait to get home to her today. And I'm not at all sure I want her on the microphone next to me or behind the board there. Working with your spouse, that has to create a whole set of dynamics. Can one or both of you speak to that a little bit?
Well, we're both, as I mentioned, we both had corporate backgrounds, and, you know, senior executives in the corporate America, both of us, and very strong type A personalities, both of us. I will say my yoga has definitely calmed that a little, but it's still there. So I think very early on, we had to establish roles and responsibilities. And so we did that pretty early on. And for all the strategic decisions, you know, we really work together for planning the business and where we're headed next. That's definitely, you know, a joint effort, but Jeff's kind of in charge of the sales, the marketing, and the customer interface. And my responsibilities are, I do all the back end. So I do the QuickBooks, the work with the accountant, do the taxes, all that back end stuff. So very early on, yes, we had to establish roles and responsibilities because it was quite challenging.
So now, what's the day to day work now? Neither of you does the actual grout stuff, do you?
No, we don't actually do the work. There are times when we will have a large job that I will hop onto the job with our team. But basically, what we have is a separate selling side and a separate technical side. And we have a general manager here in Atlanta who does about half the selling, and I do the other half. So I'm meeting with customers on a daily basis, listening to their issues, understanding their problems, and really, you know, crafting and fine-tuning our business all the time to meet their needs and demands. The technicians, what we do is we have phenomenal training for them. We have a good hiring process, and we bring in great guys who they're very meticulous and very detail-oriented and also outstanding at what they do. And we teach them new skills, and they basically surpass us right away in terms of their skills. So it's a separate group between the sales, marketing, and the technical side.
But that's all your responsibility as the franchisee,
yeah,
here in town?
That's right. And my responsibility is really the day-to-day operations as well as the communications with, as Dana said, the customer interface. The face, meeting with them all the time, taking their phone calls, answering their questions, giving them estimates, things like that.
Now, did you ever have to go out and do the actual work?
Yep. Yeah, and quite a bit. And in the early months, you know, when we started mm-hmm. at zero, we started with zero revenue here, but we had a great model to follow in place.
And this was, there had never been a Sir Grout here in Atlanta
nope,
before?
Not in Atlanta
before. So this was uncharted territory.
That's right. That's right. And so you never know how big's the business going to be, how much is the phone going to ring, how often, how many, you know, what's our business model going to look like? And happy to say that, you know, first year, we and strategically following the direction of our principals, I'd say we advertised pretty heavy, got the word out there. The phone rang, and we had basically a record first year within the Surgrout family. We had sales in excess of what anybody else had done in their first year, and then we doubled that in year two. So, you know, it's really
Did you start with like workers, or you were doing wearing all the hats at the first week or month of this?
Initially, we did start with one technician. So basically, what you had was you had Dana running the back end off the back office area, and you had me out doing the sales and the presentations, and then we had a technician going to the jobs. Well, sometimes jobs require two people. Mm-hmm. So we basically, what I had to do was look at my schedule, see when I didn't have any meetings for potential new business, and I had to schedule myself to work with him. So in the first 6 months, I did quite a bit of work.
Well, and you can imagine if the technician is the one that really knows what he's doing, guess who's toting the tiles upstairs?
Exactly. That's you, right? I had to carry all the machinery. Yeah.
But I would think for technicians, if they could land a job within your system, wouldn't they get more consistent work, the best technical training? They would continue to learn and have the best materials to work with. I would think that there would be a great many advantages. And I don't know the first thing about being a manual laborer on a construction site, but I would think this would be very attractive to a lot of technicians.
Well, and it really is. And during the interview process, we explained that to them. One of the biggest advantages is that we're always indoors. So we don't have any hot weather, cold weather, rain, or the occasional snow issues. We're always inside. So that's one of the big advantages of what we do. Over more than half of our business is actually in showers. And as you mentioned earlier, Lee, it's, you know, mold eradication and renewal of the surfaces in showers and soap residues and making showers look like new again. So that more than half the business. So we're inside every day. We're not prone to weather problems.
Now, what was it like at the very beginning before, like, this is kind of a leap of faith, right? Like, you did your due diligence and you said you could have picked of hundreds, if not thousands, of different choices.
And there was no built-in revenue. I mean, you're talking about some people with some real faith and guts in it.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, you trusted this guy and he had a track record in other markets. But again, this was uncharted territory. They'd never been to Atlanta specifically. And who knows, you know, some markets may work better than others. You didn't know any of this for sure. What was it like when that first day where you're on the clock, you know, where like, okay, this is real now. There's no turning back. You know, we're really doing this. The money's their check's cleared. We're in. What were those nights like waiting for that first phone to ring?
Well,
yeah. I mean, it was, as we mentioned, we did our due diligence and we really found this franchise to be very appealing because of the leaders and their experience. They had amazing experience in corporate America. They brought that into the franchise and they were, you know, the one franchisor is a serial entrepreneur. So lots of different business ventures and they brought that in and they really showed that to us. And having them, and one of them is based here in Atlanta. So we had incredible support.
So you knew where he lived.
That's right.
So we had that good support starting up and we felt really good about their experience and their support. And, you know, it was really a business in a box. And, you know, like Jeff said, you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. And we really felt strong support. And we were on the phone with them daily in the startup phases, multiple times.
Well, and I think just to add to that, which is that that's all very true, to add to that, we had already been through so much training. So we knew, this isn't a 6-month training. You know, you can learn a lot of our business on the technical side in a very short amount of time. Same with on the selling side. And again, the two principles, when you go to train, so there's a training facility down near Fort Myers, Florida, where you go and you spend a week. And what you do is you not only train on how to do the work, what machines to use, when to use this, when to do that. You learn how to sell too. You learn what the customer's concerns are. You learn that right away, you're going to step into that house and there's no question. You can solve some problems that these people have, that your customer has. And so by the time, even on the very first day, yeah, I was a little bit nervous. Had the butterflies, as you can imagine. But I had already been on 25 sales presentations. I knew what to say. I knew what the issues were. I didn't know all of the, you know, I still run into things that you kind of look at and you scratch your head a little bit. But it was basically, there was a good level of comfort going in because the founders, the principals, they take the time to train well and set you up for success. And that's the best thing, you know, and that's really the reason why we took this decision with Sir Grout, was because at the end of the day, it's about the people that you're working with and the people that you have. And you want, and we felt like we chose the best people to partner with and go into business with.
So I get the idea that this is a far more consultative, educational sale than I guess I originally thought it was. Is that accurate? I mean, like if you come into my home, I mean, you're really going to have to educate me, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're absolutely, and I get those questions all the time. People are, you know, I'll usually start with, are you familiar with our services? And 90% of the time it's, well, no, not really, but I saw the pictures that you had on your website. I saw the pictures that you have in your ads. And, you know, that's what my grout looks like, and I want it to look like that one. And so, that's what my shower looks like, and I want that my shower to look new like that one.
I do this at Sport Clips. I have a picture of Mel Gibson, and I bring it to them, and I have yet for them to really get there. But
exact same principle. That's it. That's it. So, and that's what we say. We come in, we say, hey, we make things look like new. People tell us that all the time. So kind of one of our big marketing challenges, our big stories to tell to get out there is that, you know what? You don't have to tear up. You can restore. You can save thousands and thousands of dollars by restoring and bringing back your original showers, floors, counters, walls, whatever it is, make them look like new again with the restoration process. You don't have to tear it all out.
All right, before we wrap, two questions. One, any designs on maybe opening a second location? Are there some growth plans, or are you just fat and happy and this is, you're good?
Well, funny you ask. We actually own two Sir Grout businesses.
You have two now.
We have two now, and there's always the discussion: should we go for more? Should we take another? We own actually the original Sir Grout franchise that is up in the northern quarter of the state of New Jersey. That's where Jeff Gill, one of the principals, that was his territory that he owned and he developed. That business has been open for 12 years. So we own that one in addition to all of Greater Atlanta, and our reach in Atlanta is as far north, south, east, west, around all of Greater Atlanta. We have that. So we do have that. Do we think about going further? We talk about it, but we've got a good, healthy business here. Frankly, we'd really like to grow Atlanta more and become top of mind, first thought when people have problems with tile, with grout, showers, you know, that's when we want people to think of us like that.
Okay, so I know the answer to the next question is yes, but I really want to dive into the why before we wrap. The question is, would you recommend, if someone is seriously entertaining the idea of going into business for themselves, would you recommend they take a serious look at this Sir Grout franchise system? I sense the answer is going to be yes, but maybe just, you know, a little insight into why. Why would you really recommend they take a look at that and seriously consider it?
Well, it will really go back to, of course, the answer is definitely yes. And it would really go back to the principles and really the company structure and how it was set up. You're not going to find business or franchise, whatever, it doesn't have to be a franchise, but as you do your homework and you're looking at business ownership and that, you'll find that there's very rarely, especially in a franchise, a group of principles that will continue update products, launch new programs, and basically keep the business fresh on a day-to-day basis than somebody like a Sir Grout. Most of the time, what we found, you know, we said, have you had any new business launches? Have you had any new product launches? When we were talking with people during our interview stage, our selection phase, people go, no, we've been doing the same thing for 10 years. been doing the same thing for 5 years. And you know, Jeff Gill, Tom Lindbergh, they came and they said, yeah, no, we launched this, then we launched that, and we introduced this, then we introduced that. And in the 5 years that we've been doing this with Sir Grout, we've had a launch, and not just a small launch, a significant launch every year. And it's always driven incremental revenue for us and improvements for homeowners. And it's been a fantastic relationship.
Okay, I fibbed. I do have one more question. Dana, can you guys go to the movie? Can you go out and just like leave it at home? I'm back on this husband and wife thing for a minute. Have you gotten to the point where you just like, can you go to a movie and not talk about the next two jobs?
We can. It definitely in the beginning, it was quite challenging because we actually purchased New Jersey at the same time that we were starting up Atlanta from scratch. So for about the first year,
you're the kind of guy that goes to Vegas and just say, putting it all on red.
Right. Exactly.
It's incredible.
So yes, yeah, we can. It definitely, it takes discipline to be able to shut it off, but we actually are able to get away for a few weeks in the summer. We try to go spend some time in Europe, and we actually am happy to report that Jeff is able to completely check out. I think we both are able to turn it off and rely on our general managers that we have down here and up in New Jersey as well.
Well, congratulations to you both. Congratulations to the Sir Grout system. They've obviously are doing a fantastic job to even get in the circle of folks like you, and you guys are really making a real success of it. Where can our listeners go to learn more if they're interested because they need work done, or maybe they want to explore the idea of being a technician in your system? What's the best way for them to reach out and have a conversation with one of you guys?
Well, definitely the website gives you a great feel for everything that we do. And our website is sirgroutatlanta.com. And our business number is 678-251-2140. So that gets you right into the office. But sirgroutatlanta.com is probably the best place to find us.
All right. Jeff, Dana, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you
very much. We appreciate it.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our fearless producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, our guest today, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.